This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallahu dakhala al-jannah." Whoever's last words, whoever's final statement, an exit ticket, if you will, as they depart from this world, is La ilaha illallah, they enter paradise. May Allah make us of them. This concise hadith summarizes everything. This is what it all comes down to, right? And that's why I want to ask you humbly to lock out the noise for the next 15 minutes and just close in on yourself and think about, what will my last words on earth be? Will it be La ilaha illallah? Or could it possibly be something else? Because we don't have any second chances. There's no redos on this one. Life in and of itself is filled with chances, but how you exit life happens only once. We have to be extremely vigilant. We only have one chance to walk out of this world with that sacred statement, La ilaha illallah. You know, this is the statement for which the universe was created. For this statement, paradise was created. The hellfire was created. For the sake of this statement, Allah sent prophets and messengers. Allah revealed scriptures, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this so people will say, La ilaha illallah, as they emerge out of their temporary life into their permanent life. It's what will make all the difference and what will outweigh everything else. So who gets to say it? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was not leaving us in the dark about this either, when it's so consequential. He said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It's actually Allah who keeps firm those who have faith in this world by saying La ilaha illallah as they leave, the scholar said. And in the next world, meaning in your grave, when you're questioned by the angels, you're able again to say Allah is my only Lord. It is Allah who keeps firm Alladhina amanu, those who have believed, with the firm statement. They unwaveringly say La ilaha illallah in this world as they exit, wa fil akhirah, and in the grave when they're interrogated. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ. And it is also Allah who will send astray at those two junctures the wrongdoers. He will send astray the wrongdoers. وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. And Allah does whatever He wills. There is no retaliation. There is no objection. There is no room for that. When this is His dominion, this is His property, this is His kingdom, to do with it as He pleases, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that mean that He will keep some firm and He will send others astray arbitrarily or unfairly? It's not random, it's not unfair. And the answer is actually in that ayah. Allah says He will send, He will keep firm الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have faith, meaning by virtue of their faith, Allah will keep them firm. Those who cared about their faith, those who fed their faith. So ask yourself, how much do you feed your faith with knowledge about Allah? And knowledge about His revelation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people in our times, they are ambivalent. They're just superficial about God. Yeah, there's a God. Yeah, there's a supreme being. God works in mysterious ways, just like that, casually. Such a person at death will not be able to recall La ilaha illallah. Will not be gifted the statement La ilaha illallah, because they were not invested in their faith. And this does trickle into the Muslim attitude sometimes, the Muslim lifestyle at times. The lines get blurred. How often do we feed our faith by devotion to Him? Do you expect that a person who does not pray their five and constantly say, Allah is greater. No, He's the greatest. No, He's the greatest. That's what Allahu Akbar repeatedly means. That person who does that, their faith will never be left to ruins. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah will never allow all your faith, the work you put into faith, to go to waste? Or check also, do you feed your faith by respecting Allah's boundaries? Do you act in life as if He is God, as if He's in charge, as if He's the only one in charge, unchallenged in His authority? Or does He say five times a day within these slots, and you say four are enough within the slots, the fifth one, whenever I wake up, I'll pray it? Does He say keep ties with your family, and you say, I'll keep ties with the family members that I like, not those that I don't like? Or does He say hijab must conceal your body in this way, and veil yourself, and say, I'll veil this much, I'm better than so many others who don't even veil that much? Who is your God in terms of the boundaries you respect? Who sets up the do's and don'ts? These are what will have a huge effect on whether or not you're able to be given that gift. You qualify for the gift of being anchored. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah keeps firm those who have iman in this world. And likewise, when He said, وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, Allah sends the wrongdoers astray, it's because they were wrongdoers that they were sent astray. He is not unfairly leading them astray. He is not misguiding them. No, it was because of their being classified as zalimeen, by virtue of their neglect, being consumed and distracted and rebellious from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like a teacher of mine said that one of his colleagues came off a plane once and said to him, I was in a Muslim country on a plane and the guy was clearly dying. It was obvious he was dying. And I said to him, say la ilaha illallah. He said, the money is in such and such a place. He said, forget the money. Nothing is going to matter in a minute. We need to always remember that. The accounts on social media or the bank accounts, the news about happenings and events or otherwise, celebrities or politics, nothing's going to matter. The people you're leaving behind that you love so much won't matter. The people that you hate so much that they're constantly, you know, in your thoughts, they're not going to matter. Nothing's going to matter in a second. Just say la ilaha illallah. Before it's too late. He says, but tell my kids I love them. Say la ilaha illallah. And the cat, feed the cat. Make sure they don't throw the cat. Say la ilaha illallah. Until the sheikh said that what he said to me, sheikh, I don't know why this statement you're telling me to say, I can't say it. And it's remarkable because, you know, la ilaha illallah, it's such a light statement. You know, the L sound is on the tip of the tongue. He said this whole long sentence and he can't say la ilaha illallah because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, if you are the type of person that allows shaitan into your life, and shaitan is able to deceive you, right? Trick you into bad not being that bad, and the good actually being bad, and the bad, you know, actually being good. Then if shaitan is able to toy with you into disobeying Allah and disrespecting His boundaries and trampling His guidance, if he can do that while you're alive, Ibn al-Qayyim says, then what in the world do you think will be your odds at death? When shaitan gathers all of his strength for his final blow, for when it really matters. If you were a walk in the park for shaitan before this moment, do you think you will survive this moment? If he were, for example, to bring to you at death two shayateen, on your right and on your left, one of them looking like your dad and one of them looking like your mom, and you're suffering already, you're disoriented by the pain of death, and your dad tells you, who you think is your dad, trust me, in my last moments I realized that Christianity is the truth. Quickly become Christian. And your mother says to you, I always loved you. I carried you inside me. I fed you from my body. I found out that Judaism was right. Become a Jew. Quickly. Do you think you will survive that? Ibn al-Qayyim says, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Ahmad, the great Imam, he was falling in and out of consciousness as he was dying. And his son kept hearing him say, La ba'd, la ba'd. Not yet, not yet. So he feared his father was seeing the reality of the next world and doesn't want to die. And so when he gained consciousness, he said, you keep saying not yet, not yet. What's happening? He says, shaitan keeps coming to me and saying to me, Futtani ya Ahmad. You slipped from my hands, O Imam. You slipped from my hands, O Imam, trying to get the Imam to put his guard down in the last moment. And I'm telling him, not yet, not yet, not till I'm dead. And another one of the great Andalusian scholars, Abu Ja'far al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, who died in Ramadan, shortly before the year 600 Hijri, as he was dying, they noticed that they were telling him, say la ilaha illallah, and they kept hearing him say no, no, no. And so when they finally felt he was oriented enough, how can you keep saying no every time we tell you la ilaha illallah? He was saying, I didn't hear a word you were saying. There was two shayateen telling me, trust me, become Christian. Trust me, become Muslim. Just trust me. There's no time. Trust me. And I was saying no, no, no. I was not rejecting la ilaha illallah. I was rejecting to let go of my la ilaha illallah at that moment. These are gifts from Allah Azza wa Jal to be firm at that moment. And that is what is intended, by the way, when you're supposed to say at the end of every tashahud in your salah, wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil mahya wal mamat. Oh Allah, protect me from the trial of life and the trial of death. They said the trial of life is either the trial of shaitan in this life, and the trial of death is when he toys with you full strength at death, or the trial of life is when you're dying still in this world, and the trial at death is when the angels question you in the grave. Which means in every prayer, if we are mindful, if we are focused, we're recollecting this moment, that departure moment when we exit this world, wishing that la ilaha illallah is what we leave with it. Because if you walk out with it, everything will be all right. And you will realize that this world really was just a drop. Whether it be pain, whether it be happiness, whether it be riches, whether it be poverty, this was a drop and the ocean was actually on the other side. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله. Our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم certainly spoke the truth when he said, من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whoever's last words are لا إله إلا الله will enter paradise. But those who die with لا إله إلا الله, either saying it as they exit, or for some people it will be a quicker death or otherwise, and it is lodged in their heart. Everyone who at least has it in their heart, every person who meets Allah Azza wa Jal with La ilaha illallah will fall into one of two categories. They're actually one of two levels. The first one is the one who says La ilaha illallah, and Allah spared them from dropping it as they exited, but they did not repent for all of their sins as they exited this world. So they will meet Allah with La ilaha illallah and with their sins. Those people will be forgiven. And the only thing they're not guaranteed is to be forgiven unconditionally. It may require purification in the fire. Because Allah Azza wa Jal made it clear in the Quran that being forgiven is guaranteed for those who repent. وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابْ. I will certainly forgive over and over again to those who repent. And so those who meet Allah Muslim, they have the threshold, the baseline, the bare minimum of Islam, of La ilaha illallah, but they have not repented, it will eventually put them into paradise. They will enter paradise, as the hadith says, but eventually. The second level that we should all be in a fervent about and forever interested in and making sure our children are bent on is to use La ilaha illallah as a means of constantly purifying ourselves and intending with it a repentance, a renewal of your Islam every single time. That's what's meant, because that is what is intended with Allah's statement, O son of Adam, if you were to come to me بقراب الأرض خطايا, with an earth's fill of sins, ثم لقيتني, but then on the day you meet me, لا تشرك بي شيئا, you have not associated any partners with me, أتيتك بقرابها مغفرة, I will bring you an earth's fill of forgiveness, ولا أبالي, and I will not care. It doesn't harm me, the sins you perform. It doesn't take anything away from me, the forgiveness I'll give you. But that is for a person who cleansed every last form of shirk from their heart, even the minor. Meaning they repented. Because you know, when you obey your desires, you're still Muslim, right? If you got weak and obeyed your desires, but it has crowded Allah's oneness in your life, right? And that's why the scholar said this hadith from Allah is about those who made tawbah. And also the other very beautiful hadith about the bitaqa. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah will bring a man on the day of judgment and he will spread in front of him his records of deeds. And they will be 99 deeds, so deep that they each of them is as far as his eyes can see. Then there's 99 of them, until the man is sure that he's finished. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says to him, أَتُنْكِرُ مِنْ هَذَا شَيْئًا? Do you deny any of this? Any of this not you? Confusion of, you know, names or identities or something you already repented for. And these are sins. He doesn't think that anything could get rid of these sins. He doesn't know. He says, no, I don't. I'm finished. And so Allah says to him, لا تغبن ولا تظلم. You will not be cheated today. Perhaps even from the fear of the moment, he doesn't remember that he repented from it. I have for you a card, a bitaqa, a means of identification. Right? That says La ilaha illallah on it. And it must have been one that he sent sincerely. One that he said later in his life to clean up what's before it. And it was placed in the scales, and just when he thought it was worthless, just when he thought it was weightless, and it was pointless, not just did it outweigh the 99 scrolls of sins, the hadith says, فَطَاشَتِ الصُّحُفِ. All 99 of them went flying out of sight. They were thrown away, all of them, because of the sincerity behind and the devotion and repentance that was coupled with that La ilaha illallah. That's the way you are to understand it. And so remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُحَالَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهَا. Say La ilaha illallah all the time, so much, before you're separated from the chance to do so. Renew with it your faith. Remind yourself, using it with the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rectify with it your practice, so that you are given that tawfiq, that divine grace from Allah, that it become your last statement, and the statement that erases everything that could haunt us otherwise. Without it, Allahumma ameen. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us and forgive the deceased Muslims everywhere and every time. May Allah make our last words from this dunya La ilaha illallah. Oh Allah, make our last words and the last word of our loved ones from this dunya La ilaha illallah. Oh Allah, do not allow us to exit this world without La ilaha illallah in our hearts. And allow us the honor of uttering it on our tongues. Sincerely for your sake and an opportunity to see your face. Allahumma ameen. May Allah forgive all of the sick Muslims and have mercy on all the deceased Muslims. And help and assist every troubled Muslim. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.